Welcome to the Friends and Rivals podcast.
Four squares, and you're each in a square, and there's a ball, like a kickball, and you bounce it and like hit it in someone's else that someone's a square, and they hit it to the other square. It bounces like twice. It's like tennis rules, like it hits twice or you don't get it. Then like everybody rotates around to like king stays in a spot if they keep the thing. King always serves, so like you can only move in the same direction. King, queen, jack. No, you gotta play the game.
Let's talk Devils and Islanders, let's talk Penguins and Rangers, but let's not talk about Flyers, cause they're a bunch of fucks, which no one can deny, which no one can deny.
Episode 148, Friends and Rivals podcast, coming at you live and hot. I'm one of your hosts, Tom Harkness, joining me each week, Carl.
Thought we weren't doing this shit anymore.
We're all here.
Steve.
Bill.
Nick.
All right, good. We're slowly but surely just weaning out the name.
Phasing
calling.
It out. Phasing
I
it out.
I love it. By next week, it's just first letters. That's it. I love it. So it's uncanny that every time that we seem to talk about something, there's a Twitter post not only 2 days later. This one was brought up by Frank Saravelli of Daily Faceoff Live, of all people, about generational talents. I mean, literally, who the fuck else last week was talking about generational talents? Nobody.
We were.
And all this. Well, yes, we were. And then, there's a post about it, which was pretty good. So he had his generational talents was Gretzky, Lemieux, Jagr, Lindros, Ovechkin, Crosby, McDavid, and then Bedard. I don't think that maybe the Lindros is the one question mark on here. I'm sure he was well on his way to be a generational talent, but injuries kind of did him in. But I don't know. Can you say the same thing about Lemieux?
He still produced, though, at such a ridiculous rate.
It was stupid.
Seventh or eighth all time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But the separation in years, though, is what I want to talk about. We've been kind of going back and forth through text messages this past week about the separation in years that a generational talent has to be. Is the number five? Is it 5 years or is it greater than five? Because I don't think it can be any less than five.
I think you have to say, are you on the Highlander camp that it's basically one at a time?
Yeah, you said this in the text. I have no idea what you meant by when you said Highlander. By the way,
there can be only one.
What the fuck is wrong Highlander. With you?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know four squares.
It's a fucking 80s movie. You should have saw it.
How the fuck are you guys?
There's just some what movies that I haven't seen.
Impossible.
How have you not
the number
seen Highlander?
86th ranked hockey one. That's the podcast Jesus. You're on.
All right. Anyway, yeah. So like Bill said, there can only be one. That's the whole. We'll cut out the movie reference thing. One at a time, right? So
Thanks.
Like, there's always one, right? Kind of like in basketball, everyone's like, all right, Jordan was like the guy, and then. When he was coming out of his retirement, Kobe came along. Kobe took the mantle. And then as his career started to decline, LeBron James came along. And since then, you can make the argument maybe about Steph Curry, maybe not. I don't think anybody's really stepped in his role specifically because it's different. But the point is, that's like the thing. It's like one guy comes along every once in a while. And even further back, you got like Will Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, a couple other guys that, you know, they dominated. And so you got, you know, Gretzky, obviously, Lemieux, it was like right a few years after him, I guess. I'm not sure the exact year. Was it 6 years, 5 years? I can't remember.
More than that, no?
More than that?
For what?
No, it's
10.
I think it's only because Gretzky came into the league either.
Gretzky was in 79, Lemieux came in 84.
So it's 5
Yeah,
years.
I didn't think it was that. I thought so. Yeah, so you got those two, and they're pretty unanimous. Like, everyone's going to agree. Those are definitely generational, right? It gets a bit murky. Like, I know Jagr was thrown into that list. I don't really think Jagr is a generational player. I think he just has that longevity. I think he's very good. I don't think he's quite that guy. I think it's like the Crosby-Ovechkin thing. they were came in same time and they're really close, but and they have a lot of accolades, but I don't know, Jagr didn't win a lot after, you know, Lemieux left, so he's got a lot of points and he's there a long time. I don't know if he's that guy, much like Ovechkin. Ovechkin's got the one cup, but outside the goals, I mean, which is his one big thing, you know, not a lot of other, like, you know, accolades. So, I mean, you got those, you got obviously those guys, and then Crosby, I think, is pretty, I think we can all agree he's the guy, and then McDavid. And now we're in McDavid land, and now I've talked to you guys about over text. I think Bedard's the next guy. I think based on what I've seen so far, he has the talent, but, you know, let's see. Like, Lindros had all the talent in the world. He clearly, you know, didn't live up to those expectations, but I think you can all, we all agree he was like, he had a couple of years when he looked like he was going to be the next big thing, and then he just, you know, injuries killed him, and he wasn't the same player afterwards. But
yeah, and yeah. I think we would all agree. Like, I think from where Cervelli was making his list was these guys came into the league with this, you know, expected greatness. Like, I think that was the perspective he was coming in. Like, who is a generational talent coming in? And because he's got Bedard on that list, I mean, Bedard hasn't proven anything yet, but he's definitely coming in with those expectations like those other guys. So right. I think it all depends on, like, how you're going to define a generational talent. Are you talking about when they got to the league, what the expectations were? Are you talking about, were they the best player in the world for, my thing was 5 years. Like, are you the best player in the world for 5 years? Hands down, I think you're a generational talent. That's to me. But like if you kind of expand on that, you know, certainly Ovechkin, I think we would all agree on the guys that we would put on the list. We would just have to more agree on the definition of what's a generational talent.
Sure. Okay, so now we talked at length last week about there can't be two generational talents in the same year, right?
Which
unless
is, and that's my belief, unless, but that,
unless
that's only my
one
opinion.
Unless one is coming down off that hill and one is on his way up, like,
well, then
we
but
have
if that's the
maybe,
case, then they're different generations.
Yes. Okay. It's very interesting.
Play together.
If that's what we're going with, then we have to look at what the average length of an NHL career is. And it's right now, I think I'm looking, and it seems to be the consensus on the internet that it's 12 years. 12 years is the average length of an NHL hockey player. So I don't know that it's 5 years. Maybe it's 10 years.
Yeah, but there's not very many players. I mean, you might even question Gretzky himself, the great one. Like, was he the best player in the world for 10 years? I mean, he was incredible for 10 years. Was he the best player in the world each of those years?
From 1970, from 79 to 89? Yeah, you can make the argument he was the best player in the world for 10 straight years. I don't know that any other hockey player can make that ever in history.
It's possible that he's the only one, yeah. Gretzky, I mean, Crosby, you know, was not the best player in the world for 10 years, you know, but I think there was a time, a part of his career where he was.
He was pretty damn close, man.
Sure, close.
But right now, and we had the conversation with Butchie. We've had it, you know, internally. McDavid's the best player in the NHL right now, and there's not a debate about it. And he's been that way for at least the past 4 years.
Right.
And there's nothing saying that he's going to stop being that for the next 5 years. So I think McDavid is held in this hierarchy of just, he is above and beyond better than anybody else at that same time. Gretzky was like that. McDavid's like that. I mean, you can probably lump Lemieux in there. All the other guys, I don't know that can make that claim. Maybe Crosby. But Ovechkin kind of destroys that narrative. So I don't know. I think we're talking circles here about what our definition is of a generational player.
Yeah, I feel like you don't need to go into the Highlander thing personally. I think it can be multiple guys, because I think they're just so far and away. I think it takes away from them if you go, and like, look, if two of the best, what if Gretzky and Lemieux were born at the same time, and they were, you know, not that far away from each other, and like we were saying, 5 years apart in the league.
But doesn't that then devalue calling someone a generational talent?
I guess that depends on how you put it. If you're thinking that they all, it's because they dominated for 5, 6, 7 years and they're the best player in the world at that time, then I guess so. Then that's how you can put it. But then you're kind of making, you're devaluing those guys and what they did and number wise and, you know, on the court, on the ice and everything. So I don't know. It doesn't really matter too much.
To be a generational talent too, I think you have to be a really good all round hockey player. Kill penalties, good on the power play, good with assists, good with, you know, good with goals, good with just about everything. Right. I think McDavid covers that. I think Gretzky covered that. I think Crosby covered that. So if I was going to decide, and Bill's going to fucking cream his pants when I say this, if I was going to decide between Ovechkin and Crosby as who is the generational talent, who is the generational player, I think it's Crosby. I don't think it's Ovechkin.
Yes!
Yeah.
You see, look at him.
I don't think it's a question if you have to, choose one. It's definitely
acting like somebody just brought in a chocolate cake, this guy.
What cake? Who brought cake?
Fucking start. I mean, it's that age old question, you know, if you were going to start a team and you had to pick between the two, who would you take? I think everybody would take Crosby.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's without why question. He gets the edge over Ovechkin.
Yeah, listen, Ovechkin's going to go down as probably the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL. That's something to be said. That's something to be said. So he may not be the generational talent, but he was fucking a great hockey player, an all-timer. Ugh, I don't know. Shit. If he's the greatest goal scorer of all time, that has to make him a generational player. Like, you can make the argument
no,
in so
he just
many
has,
fucking ways.
See? He's got longevity then. That's all, you know. It's not like he went out and scored 70 goals a year every year.
It was pretty fucking close.
But no.
It goes beyond longevity, though, to score.
Yeah, come on. It's not the Frank Gore effect where, like, he was just a mediocre guy for his entire career and somehow ends up in, like, whatever, you know, second or most yards ever as a running back.
No, I think you can make a better hockey analogy. Who's the fucking guy on the Sharks?
Marlo,
you guys have always claimed that it was the longevity of his career.
Goals.
That's how why
zillion
he has all the
points.
Yeah. Because of the longevity of his career.
Yeah. I think that's a better example for sure.
Outstanding goal scorer, but that was it. That was all he did.
You say outstanding, but he broke 40 one time.
No, Marlo? I'm talking about Ovechkin.
No, we're talking about Ovechkin. Yeah. Not
I think
Marlo.
I think he scored more than 40 more than once. But okay.
Fuck Marlo.
But what else? Like, Ovechkin doesn't have anything else that he brings to the table.
He definitely
Ovechkin won a heart.
I think
granted, it probably was one, right?
I think he won multiple, but he brought a physical presence when he was younger, you know. I agree.
But it was that reckless physical. It was a recklessness to his game more than anything. Yes, he would muck it up, but he was reckless in his skating and everything.
Yeah,
I always remember that from when he was young.
He's a massive goal scorer, obviously, but the analogy I made with you guys is like, you know, Happy Gilmore wouldn't have been the best golfer just because he hit the long ball the best all the time. Like, it's to me, yeah, I don't feel like he's as complete. He's a great player. I would never say he's not, you know, he's an incredible player, but like, yeah.
He's not coming on the podcast to yell at you, Bill. Relax. It's okay. He's not coming on to yell at you. You don't have to be diplomatic.
Ovechkin sucks. Could
there be a period, an era in the NHL where there was not a generational talent present?
Yeah,
I agree too.
I
agree too.
Obvious, you know.
Yeah,
That's, I think that's why I was saying about the NBA. I don't think there is one right now.
2000 to 2006.
I think what skews our judgment about a generational talent is, but it maybe doesn't even skew it because the years are fine. You know, it's the Gretzky and Lemieux comparison. You know, two generational talents. And we've established that Ovechkin wasn't a generational talent. You can make the argument that Jágr and Lindros not generational talents, but we all agree that McDavid is. And McDavid's kind of on the upswing when Crosby's kind of on the downswing.
Yeah.
And there was a lack between Lemieux and what, 96? But, you know, he eventually played with Crosby, but I don't know I guess he still played, right? Yeah. So maybe he's that, maybe that's the list. It's Gretzky, Lemieux, Crosby, McDavid, and maybe Bedard.
But maybe that's TBD. TBD.
I think that's the generational list if you asked me.
If you start in 79, yeah. I mean, obviously there were generational talents before Wayne Gretzky.
Gordy, Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr would have been a generational talent.
Sure.
Orr and Gordie Howe, probably the other two. I don't know if there's anybody else outside of that.
I think Maurice Richard probably would be a generational talent.
James Patrick.
Talent.
Rocket Richard.
No. Maybe. Lester Patrick. But you're right. Going back prior to 79, I would agree with you. But I think from 79 on, in our era, in our watching of hockey, to me, debate me all you want, I think that's the generational list. All the other guys were incredible Hall of Fame hockey players, but the list of generational talents, Gretzky, Lemieux, Crosby, McDavid.
Yeah, that's the four. And in the modern era, that's the four. I think that's it right now. So, go with that.
Oh, I have to ask a question. Has there been a generational goaltender, or is that their own fucking category?
No, yeah, I don't think.
I don't know. That's super hard because it's so dependent on the system they're in.
But Marty was. I mean, Marty. I don't like the guy.
Marty, you could definitely make the argument that Brodeur. I don't know. I don't like Wah was very good, obviously.
Hasek. I mean,
Hasek. Hasek's a very, very good one. I mean, you could definitely talk about Hasek because, he was up there. I mean, then you can extend it to if you go, okay, there's obviously goalies. You could talk about defensemen. Like, why is my brain just
working? No. I think defensemen can be a generational talent.
Yeah, like Nicholas
Bobby
Lidstrom,
Orr, Paul Coffey, Nick Lidstrom. Yeah, those guys, fuck. But I don't think,
you know?
But I don't think that they fit into the same generational category as the forwards do.
No.
Yeah. They do so much. They do so much on the ice. I think it's forwards end up being where the most skilled players are always end up. I don't think it makes. I don't see how a defenseman could do it otherwise. I mean, obviously Lidstrom had like what, six Norrises, right?
It was something. Stupid like that. Yeah.
But that's a trophy. Unlike the Hart, that's a trophy where it's pretty much yours. And if you play up to the same level, you're going to get it the next year. And if you play up to the same level, you're going to get it the next year. And that's how it works.
Yep. Selke's the same way. The Patrice Bergeron Award. So, I mean, you know, and if you look at Bergeron, he was probably like, you know, just like not like Crosby, but one of the probably the most well-rounded players in the game, obviously defense and forward, defensively and offensively, but he doesn't put up the numbers and have the vision that Crosby does and, you know, creates things that Crosby does. But I don't know. Anyway, those are just fun things. I think those guys are like clearly franchise players, but I don't think they're generational talents.
Yeah, I also don't think that Bedard is going to fall into that generational talent. By the way,
we'll see.
I don't think.
It's so early.
I couldn't hear you.
Gotta wait and see on that on Bedard. Yeah.
Yeah. I do agree, but my gut is telling me that he's gonna be a fucking great hockey player. But
we're due for one of these guys not to reach their potential.
Yeah.
I mean,
didn't we have Lafreniere already?
Yeah, we got Lafreniere. We got Nils Yakupov. We got the guy in Montreal from 2 years ago. Yeah. We got him. I don't think Bedard is in that category for sure.
But could be more than Stamkos. You could like end up in like a Stamkos, you know, Tavares kind of range, in that somewhere between McKinnon, you know. But I don't know. Well, he's got some undeniable talent that could potentially be very, very good. We'll see.
Who knew a simple money talks little segment turned into a two-week national news, Nick. Well done.
Will tonight's have the same impact?
I'll tell you in 3 days.
I don't know. We'll find out in a week.
As the great Bart Scott once said, can't wait.
Start hashtagging Nick's segments. See where they go.
Cervelli is really secretly on, just listening to all these little podcasts trying to get some real information, you know.
So Tom Wilson gets suspended for 6 games. Was it six?
Yep. Six.
Six games for accidentally hitting somebody with a stick. What's so funny?
Yes.
I want to believe him just because of his reaction, but I can't figure out what the fuck he was doing if that's not what he meant to do. I mean, why was he swinging his stick like that if he wasn't trying to connect with his face?
Who knows?
Yeah. Fuck him.
But I think after the Trouba suspension, what Wilson got was certainly warranted. So you now have the Rempe incident on Siegenthaler, and then you had something similar but different with Anders Lee and Nico Hischier the other night in the Islander Devil game, where instead of the elbow being thrown, it was a knee being thrown. Does this fall into the same exact category that Matt Rempe falls into? Should Lee be suspended for 4 games for kneeing somebody and not elbowing them? I mean, granted, Hischier came back into the game, into the third period or the second period or whatever the hell it was. And Siegenthaler, I think, is still out. But is this the same kind of thing?
No.
We've all played hot. Why not? Why not? Tell me.
Because it doesn't deal with the head and the long-term brain injuries you can suffer after your playing career is over.
Yeah, but a knee,
big thing,
pretty valuable.
To target too. I mean,
You can replace a knee. I don't think anybody's had brain replacement surgery recently.
No, I'm scheduled. Hasn't happened yet.
Small will suffice.
Right? Is that right after you watch the Highlander movies? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, yeah, sure. I'll right on top of that, Rose. Right.
The reason I thought that the two were comparable is because I felt like both players were in a spot where like they were going for, well, I mean, Rempe was going for a hit and was going to miss, and he threw his wing out.
I agree.
I think Lee did the same fucking thing. I don't know that he was going for a hit, but when he realized he wasn't going to get the puck or whatever he was trying to do, he did throw the leg out, and Neon, he's pretty dangerous. And I think Rempe's suspension should be longer. Because, I mean, he's just a physical guy, and you got to send the dude a message because he's running amok, you know?
I don't disagree with you.
Lee, you know, I don't think Lee has a history of doing shitty things like that. Somebody might be able to cite some examples. I don't know. But I do think, you know, maybe a suspension in the same kind of range, you know, not the 4 games maybe, but like, you know, I do think 2, 3, something like that.
I don't think three. I think Steve's argument warrants less of a suspension because I think, you know, a blow to the head is certainly less than a blow to the knee. I do agree with that. Nonetheless, the knee on knee thing needs to be taken out, and it's just like the chicken wing. It's when you're going to play the puck or you're going to lay a hit, and that player moves, and you try to just catch him. And you throw your leg out there. There's no difference in throwing your elbow out than throwing your knee out. There's no difference in my book, except once to the head, once to the knee. I get the knee is slightly less impactful, if you will, for your entire life than necessarily your head. So, okay, I give him half of the games, give him two games. But I didn't see anywhere today where the Department of Player Safety offered Lee anything.
Yeah,
in regards to a hearing, a meeting, on a phone conference, nothing.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of things. Yeah, that's the Department of Player Safety.
Now, they don't play again. The Islanders don't play again until Thursday. So do you think that the Department of Player Safety is kind of like, oh, well, that buys us another day or so to make a determination?
I don't, because these things usually happen the next day that they will be offered an in-person hearing, or he'll have a phone hearing, or something to that effect. Typically happens the next day,
right?
And then the hearing's the day after. So if anything, I would have imagined it would have came today, but it didn't. I just want Department of Player Safety to treat every incident similar and look at it the same eyes as we're all looking at it as.
Do you have to treat every incident the same? So you're not putting into it at all. You're not putting into the equation at all the person committing the infraction.
What do you mean? If they had a history or not?
Rempe has been in the league for six minutes.
Yep.
And he's almost taken off two players' heads.
Well, they were on the same team. I see red too when I see the Devils. But
it happened in two separate games.
I'm not sure that Lee, and again, I don't know if Lee has that history or not. Long term, short term,
been in the league.
Whatever.
Lee's been in the league a considerable amount of time, and if you don't know if he's got that reputation, then he doesn't.
Then he probably doesn't. You're right about that.
Rempe's been in the league for like what? Seriously, 10 games?
It's something along those lines.
And that's his reputation. He's a guy that plays 6 minutes a game, and he's going to throw his body around, and he's going to try and make an impact.
He has completed two back-to-back games without getting kicked out.
That's incredible. That's very admirable for him. Again, probably averaged 6 minutes in each game. So for 12 whole minutes, he was a good boy. Let's give him a trophy.
8 minutes, actually.
You don't deserve to get away with a knee on knee just because you haven't had a history. I mean, that incident, I believe, should have warranted another one.
Now, he got a 5-minute major and he got kicked out of the game. So he was penalized.
Yeah. If that's what they're going to leave it at, then that's what they're going to leave it at. I mean, I'm not saying the Department of Player Safety is on the ball with anything that they rarely are.
So that's it. Department of Player Safety, that's what he's getting, and that's it. He got the game, and that's punishment enough. Move on.
That's what it seems like.
Okay. I can kind of deal with that. If that's going to be his quote-unquote first warning, then okay. But the next time it happens, they need to step up.
If it happens again in two games.
Yeah, no doubt.
They're going to retroactively give him some sort of suspension. So if you say it was two games, maybe they give him three games because they go, oh, well, this is the second time it's happened in a short span of time.
I really had no idea how close Jonathan Quick was to breaking the all-time American wins for goaltenders. He tied Ryan Miller. And Ryan Miller, really? He's the greatest U.S.-born goaltender, wins-wise?
Generational talent.
Holy crap. No, not even fucking close. That guy was awful, in my opinion. Where did he get all his fucking wins? Was it in Buffalo? It wasn't in Anaheim. It had to be in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, Buffalo.
L.A.?
Jesus.
Oh.
When he wasn't in L.A. Ryan Miller?
Oh, no. Oh, I thought you meant Quick. I'm sorry.
No. I didn't know. Yeah, Quick got all of his wins in Columbus, Steve. But.
Yeah, he played. When he was in Anaheim, they were not a perennial cup contender every year, but they were one of the better teams out there.
Yeah, I guess you forget. I mean, it's West Coast, and who gives a shit about Anaheim, right? Especially on the East Coast. Fucking. But, oh, man. Yeah, I didn't realize how close he was at the beginning of the season. And now to be there, and
boy,
I think
boy did I hit the nail on the head with that one.
Did you place
how
a
about
bet?
29 wins, 17 wins, 18 wins. That was his time in Vancouver. When he was with the Ducks, he did not fare better.
Who, Ryan Miller?
Yeah. It was the Sabres, man. It was 05 to 2011-2012. 05-06 to 11-12, he averaged more than 30 wins a year. So for that...
Yeah.
7 year period. I mean, that's 200 and, but he's probably got about 250 wins right there.
Yeah, that was the dreary Briere Finneganoff era, right? Yeah. In Buffalo. They were fucking good.
You know, Buffalo. So
yeah, it's
never
it's
did Buffalo. Anything worth anything because it's Buffalo.
Exactly. So you might see that tomorrow night against the Flyers. Maybe fuck the Flyers, by the
way.
Do
it against the Flyers, baby.
That would be just fucking awesome. But I had no idea coming into the season where he stood in that regard. So it would be, I would rather him than Ryan Miller for sure. Be on that list as number one. Yeah, I really hope so. I really hope so. Did I miss anything? I didn't miss anything. I think I'm good. All right, let's take a ride of the Metro. Sponsored by Rich Wholesome Nestle Quick.
Hello, boys and girls. Do you hate the taste of regular milk and need energy? Try Nestle Quick. One sip and you can feel the energy in your muscles. Nestle Quick, now available in chocolate and strawberry.
They say the real men drink pink, then I'm a real man for sure. But if you like the brown, I still love you for who you are. Because it's time for acceptance of everyone, all preference. We're all quick on the inside anyway. Nestle Quick, it does the trick.
Shockingly, we're going to start with the Penguins.
Oh, shockingly. Oh, was everybody so fucking shocked that the Penguins lost to the Devils last week like I said they would? Even though the Devils were having such a terrible road trip and they were playing so bad and the Penguins had won, I guess, 2 out of 3. But they were going to beat the Devils, right? Just because the Devils were struggling. Didn't matter that the Penguins had lost 6 in a row prior to that, had lost by more than 3 goals every one of those games except for one. But no, the Penguins were going to beat the Devils. That's what I heard from, I think, the 3 a.m. Yeah, so what a shock. They lost to the Devils. Like 5-2 was the final score. I think the Penguins got a goal in garbage time to make it closer than it had previously been. Yeah, the Penguins and the Penguins season has unraveled, which I kind of expected after, the wins that the Penguins have had since the week of the trade deadline were against Columbus, San Jose, and was that other shit team they beat? That was some other, Ottawa. So three just shit teams that are still somehow lower in the standings than they are. That's been their win. Then they went to Colorado yesterday, took a 4-0 lead. I mean, if you've been paying attention, no lead safe. That comeback, that amazing comeback by Colorado should have surprised absolutely fucking nobody. Chicago came back and won that game. Not Chicago, I'm sorry, Colorado. Colorado came back and won that game. The Penguins season is the only thing that I'm really watching for at this point. I'm kind of hoping Crosby will finish the season averaging more than a point per game. He's trying to tie Gretzky's record for the most consecutive seasons averaging more than a point per game, which would be, I guess that would be cool. He's got 73 points in 70 games right now. with him without his favorite wing to pass to anymore, so his production has slowed down. And, you know, watching the young guys is still something to do, I guess, but the thing that is kind of disappointing with where the Penguins have gone now, with the way, you know, they've just quit, is just that, like, if you're a veteran on this team, on this Penguins team that took issue with management trading away Jake Guentzel for the stretch run because you thought that you still might be a playoff team, how about you fucking go prove it for the rest of the season after that? How about you not just tank the season? How about you go out there and show management, hey, you should still have some belief in this group instead of the shit that we've seen. That, I mean, Carlson is as bad defensively as advertised, and he's not, you know, making up for that with big point totals. Letang's been extremely inconsistent and making like all sorts of mistakes. And you got guys like Riley Smith, who's been, and Ricard Raquel, who have both been decent at sometimes this season, and they've been ghosts at other times. You guys, you know, want this team to consider trying to keep building around you and try to take another shot at it. You shouldn't be playing like shit right now. But you know, now they've justified the Guentzel trade and they've justified the rebuild that's coming, and that's where they're going to go. So, yeah, I mean, we're just playing out the last, I guess, you know, 10 or so games. No lead's going to be safe. It's going to be wild. Bet against the Penguins the rest of the way. So who's next?
Well, we're going to turn, and Nick, maybe I apologize to the Icelanders. Ever since I said, and we talked about their schedule and how they had the opportunity to overtake the Flyers, they have not been a good hockey team.
No, they've been opposite of that, actually. since their 6-game winning streak, they're 1-8. So I mean, that's not good. That's by all counts. But yeah. 1-8, isn't it? 1-8, 1-8 last 9. Yeah. 6. Yeah. 1-8. Sorry, had to make sure I did the math right. It's 1 out of. One of the last 8 late? I don't know, whatever. I can't do math right now. 6 games, win, lose again. No, it's 1-7 in the last 8. Sorry, man. I'm a little distracted.
Billy, check his math, please.
A little distracted.
So anyway. Completely lost me.
Yeah, no worries. So to recap, Isles went on a 6-game winning streak, followed that up with a 6-game losing streak to just completely nullify any chance of, you know, gain after they had just gotten back into the eighth spot, you know, in the playoff race. And after that, they this week was the tail end of that 6-game losing streak, both to losses at home to the Hurricanes, and then the pivotal game, which was the away game to Detroit, 6-3 loss. That's kind of like the death, the bane breaking your back. Breaking Superman's back just completely kills the season, man. That's and even though we're not that far away in points, those 2 points are kind of like, that's going to be, even if they come back close and make it close, those 2 points are going to be the difference, in my opinion. 6-3 win over at home 2 nights later against Winnipeg. Looked like they were coming back. I think the start looked good again. And then another just listless game against the Devils. Highlight of the game is 3 Islanders colliding in one single action, leading to a Jack Hughes goal. Just an absolute, you know, perfect, you know, analogy of how the season has gone. And then, yeah, go ahead, Tom. What are you going to say?
If there was ever a time to play the Benny Hill music, that would have been it, where the Islanders just completely just collide with each other.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, the Lee hit was the other notable thing from the Highlanders' perspective game. I think Lee should have been suspended for at least a game, just because anytime you have a knee on knee, and it kind of looked like he stuck his knee out, even if it's like the last second, it's intentional looking enough. He got thrown out of the game. I think you gotta police the players that in that situation and say, hey, if you're gonna do this, you get a game. Like, you know, it's not a head injury, but like he could have taken him out. You know, he sure could have been out for long term. And, you know, I think Saros is probably looking at it as like, oh, you know, he only missed a few shifts. He was out for the rest of the period, came back the next period. I don't think that's the right play. I think you gotta send a message to players, and in that kind of scenario, even if it's a game, send a game. Say, hey, that's a no go. But you know what's gonna happen? Like right in the playoffs, something like that'll happen, and same scenario, a guy comes back, and they're not gonna get suspended, and then it's gonna be a big uproar. Anyway, I'm not talking about the Isles too much tonight because they suck terribly. This week was just kind of killed my entire hope they had any chance. This week they have the Florida away on Thursday, away against, and then this is the crazy part. It's like they had a little bit of a break, not a break, but at least they had they've had doubleheaders every week the last 2 weeks. No doubleheader this week, but next week is pretty nuts. So the 28th Thursday away game against the Panthers. They stay in Florida, 30th or Saturday against Tampa, but then they have one day off and then fly, which is their basically a travel day, and they'll be in Philly on Monday and then Chicago and home against Chicago on Tuesday. So three games in 4 days, and you know, at that pivotal time where they gotta crack up win, get a bunch of wins. And I mean, Florida and Tampa are very good teams. Philly's obviously trying to make the playoffs. And then the only game there that's going to be easy is on the end of a back-to-back, which I was terrible at all season, against Chicago. And then they only get rewarded with, you know, a day off before they go fly out to Columbus and play with Columbus. So, I mean, it's a hectic schedule, and there's not really a reprieve, and they have to win a lot of games here and out, and it's looking very dim. They got to go probably 7-3 the next 10 to have a shot at it, and hope that that they can catch Philly and Detroit, but I don't think so.
Steve, Devils.
We really got a shot at making the playoffs, this Devils team. I got to tell
you. Have you lost your fucking mind?
I'm a believer now, baby.
What happened?
I'm paying off a bet. Dominant effort against the Penguins. 5-2 victory. Mercer, 10 goals in the last 10 games. He's on a 31-goal pace this season if he would have played 82. Started quick, a little lull after the first 10 minutes, but then they came back for a very solid third. At that point, they were 6 points out of the wild card, three teams to jump with 13 games to go. Followed that up with an outstanding effort against the Winnipeg Jets, one of the best offensive teams in the league. Devils won that game 4-1. Jack and Luke Hughes had 17 shots combined in the game. The Jets had 19 shots in the game. Just shut them down. Three power play goals for the Devils. Outstanding. On this night, last Thursday, I'm just going to mention the Anaheim Ducks recorded a shutout. They were one of only two teams in the NHL who hadn't recorded a shutout yet. And I will get back to that in just a second. Saturday was a little bit of a disappointing effort against the Senators. Lost 5-2. Again, losing to teams they shouldn't be losing to. But after dominating the Penguins and the Jets in back-to-back games, it was an understandable letdown. They did let up the first goal of that game. 50 out of 71 this season that they've done that. And just everything that they did good in the game before, they did bad during this game. And that brings us to Sunday versus the Islanders. A 4-0 victory. The Devils' first shutout of the season. They were the last team in the NHL who hadn't recorded a shutout yet. Special props go out to Timo Meier. We're recording a Gordie Howe hat trick during this game. Just a stellar defensive effort all around. Brought their record up to 3-10-1 on the second half of back-to-backs this season. Finished the week after this game. They are 5 points out of the wild card, three teams to jump. So over this week, they picked up a point on the teams they're chasing. So if there's
6 more weeks left in the season, we're in good position. This week,
there's not.
This week, Toronto on Tuesday, Buffalo on Friday. So a very, very light week for this team. This game against Toronto is actually the first time they're playing them this season. So they're going to play Toronto 3 times in the last 10 games of the year.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's wild.
I've got a question about the Devils-Penguins game, and this isn't even sarcastic or bullshit. Have you ever seen one team hit that many fucking posts in a game? The Devils hit at least 7 that I remember. 7 posts, and in addition to the 5 goals they scored.
It is a little scary, but it is. That's also a common theme for this team all year. They definitely do hit the post a lot.
Wow.
But not as much as in that game, but they definitely, you know, shooting accuracy is something they can work on.
Oh, sorry. That will bring us to your first place. New York Rangers.
First place in the Metro. I think we need to specify.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I do need to specify that they are, first in the Eastern Conference and tied for first in the NHL.
But they're not.
Sorry, my bad. Let me specify first place.
Tied New York for Rangers. First place.
Yes. They are number one in the league in wins.
Tied for first place.
47.
Tied for
47 wins. Number one in the East, number one in the Metro, and number one in your heart.
Nope. Number one at St. Louis Leagues.
They had a relatively light week compared to the week prior, to where they only played 3 games, went 2-1 in those games. On Tuesday night, they ran into a hot goaltender and Hellebuck for Winnipeg. Rangers made it close 3-2 with the last 2 minutes of the game. Lafreniere scoring his 20th goal of the season. But all in all, it was a Mark Scheifele hat trick to down the Rangers in regulation 4-2 against the Winnipeg Jets. Fucking Corey Connor scored a power play goal in that game.
The Devils beat the Jets. The Rangers couldn't beat the Jets because the Devils beat the Jets.
I wanted to throw my remote control when fucking Connor scored. It was very upsetting. But listen, after that game, you're thinking, listen, the Rangers, it's great that you fucking beat the Islanders. It's great that you beat the Penguins. It's great that you fucking beat the pants off of the Devils. But when it comes to playing in this league, you got to beat teams that are going to be in playoffs and playoff bound teams. And that's exactly what they did to finish out the week. They go to Boston on a Thursday evening and beat the Bruins 5-2 in a game that was pretty competitive in the first period, but the Rangers shut them down in the second and third period for a 5-2 win in the game. As I mentioned before, Jonathan Quick tying Ryan Miller all time in wins for American born goalies. And and that brings us to Saturday. And it was, that game in Boston, to me, was a statement game. The game on Saturday night against Florida, kind of for first place in the East, and who's going to take the number one spot in the East, in my opinion. And both teams came in shorthanded. Rangers on the back end, Florida on the back end, even up front, with rotating guys and injuries. Tis the season for this. It was a highly entertaining hockey game. The Rangers winning in a shootout 4-3. And then they get 2 days off. So the Rangers kind of hopefully prove to the league that they can play with these teams that are in the playoffs, right? So just to give you a little update, how the Rangers fared against teams that are in the playoffs this year. Against Boston, 3-0. Carolina, they're 2-1. Colorado, they're 1-0. Dallas, 1-1. Detroit, 2-0. Edmonton, 1-1. Florida, 1-2. LA, 1-1. Nashville, they were 1-1. Philly, they're 2-0. Tampa Bay, they're 2-1. Toronto, 1-1-1. Vancouver, 1-1. Vegas, they're 0-2. Winnipeg, 1-1. In total, they were 20-13-1 against teams in the playoffs. That's more than 16 wins.
What's remarkable about that?
What's that, Billy?
Nothing really. They're the number one team in the NHL.
That's right.
They're gonna have success probably.
That's right. That's right. For teams that are in the playoffs, the Rangers have the third best record against the top 10 teams head to head. The Bruins are 12-4-1. Canucks are 12-6-2. Rangers are 12-8-1. But like Billy said, you're number one in the National Hockey League. You're probably going to have a good record against everybody. But let's just hope they don't play Florida or Vegas anytime in the playoffs. Artemi Panarin, I know I gushed a lot about him last week. He is on the verge of doing something that only three other players in NHL history have done, and that's have their first 100-point season at a higher age. If he does it in the next 10 to 11 games, he'll become the number four on the list at 32.4 years of age to have his first 100-point season. You want to take a guess at who the top three are on this list? First 100-point season, the oldest player in the NHL.
Adam Oates.
Adam Oates is not on the list. Well, Jagger? He's not on this list. No, Jagger had a 100-point season, a lot younger than
Bart, for sure. Bart Oates.
It's not Bart Oates.
Gordie Howe
had his first 100-point season at 40 years old.
Sid Abel.
40!
Sid Abel on the list?
Sid Abel is not on this
list. Are the other two players from that era or more current?
No. Well, one is retired and one is still playing. One is still playing for one of our teams.
Joel Skinner.
Oh, it's definitely not Joel Skinner.
Playing for one of our teams?
Yeah, playing for one of our teams.
Not the Devils.
Well, Bill, I'm looking at you. You don't know which one I'm looking at.
I said Jeff Carter. Was that not?
Carlson? Oh, no, it's not. Jeff Carter, 100-point season?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Eric Carlson. Eric Carlson.
Oh, yeah, 100 points what, last year?
Yeah. And the other one was Daniel Alfredson.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that will make the Friends and Rivals trivia book for sure. This week,
speaking of which,
this week the Rangers got three additional games tomorrow night at home against the Philadelphia Flyers. Fuck the Flyers. And then they go out of the Eastern time zone for the last time, maybe until the Stanley Cup final, where they go Thursday night at Colorado and Saturday night in Arizona to play the Coyotes before coming home next Monday evening to play, I believe, the Devils. No, it's the Penguins. Next Monday night is the date with the Penguins at home.
And
I
now
think we should have a bet. Whoever wins that game thinks they're going to go to the playoffs.
Now it's time for trivia with your favorite and mine, Bill.
Is this the last one?
No, this is the one, Bill.
This is the last trivia question.
One more after this week.
Oh, I thought next week started the. Sad.
Nope.
Sad.
Okay, today's question. How many times did Mario Lemieux score 8 points in a game?
4,621.
That's well higher than the answer. Overbid.
36 times.
No, that's still a bit high.
Did he do it in the game versus the Devils where he scored in every way?
Probably. I don't really know.
I'm going to say he never did it, Bob.
Never is not one of the choices. No, he definitely did it.
Two.
Incorrect. That was a multiple choice.
64.
It was a multiple choice?
69.
What was two on the multiple choice?
Yes, it was.
Okay, fucking should it be, goddammit.
Four.
Steve got it.
Wow.
Congratulations,
just
buddy.
Just because I'm two times better than Tom.
That's funny.
There you go.
That's funny. All right, money talks, Nick.
Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make the stash. New plug, give a fuck, G and Daydream. Think I'll buy me a hockey team.
Get in there.
Whoa, right. Spreadsheets.
Woo-hoo! I've
been working one hand the whole night, Nick. What are you talking about?
All right. So we're going to talk about 50 goal scorers, a.k.a. Frank Saravelli's next article this week. We're on to you, Frank. So, why is this an important thing? Well, we got 350 goal scorers already this season, and there's a couple guys that could potentially hit it as well by the end of the year. Three guys that really have singled out that are close. And I think this kind of begs the question at the end of this whole thing is like, who's gonna do this? Who's gonna score the 50 goals next? I'm gonna pose that question to you guys at the end of this segment, and I have some thoughts on, you know, guys that potentially could. We'll see what you guys think. But that's kind of the my talks discussion today. So where do we start? Well, really quick, there's only a few guys that have done this over the last decade. It's kind of actually nuts. Is Ovechkin's scored 50 five times in the last 10 years, dating back to 2013-14 season, which is, I guess, 10 years back. Or maybe 11. I don't know. You could do the math, Billy, on that one. 10. All right. Cool. Got good. Draisaitl, who scores a lot of goals. He's gotten on three times in the last few years. And then you got Austin Matthews, Chris Kreider, Connor McDavid, Pastrnak, Mika Rantanen, and Braden Point all have done it one time as well. And they all really did it in three of the last 10 years. Where it wasn't just the Ovechkin show. In 18-19, there was Draisaitl, also did it with Ovechkin. 21 to 22, you had four different guys do it, including Ovechkin. And then in 22-23, you had five guys, which is the most since, I want to say, if I look back really quick, if I didn't close it already, I want to say that was...
It's got to be 90s.
It did happen in 2005-06. Believe it or not, we had a Jonathan Chychrun, Jaromir Jagr, Ilya Kovalchuk, Ovechkin in his first year scoring 50 goals, and a Danny Heatley.
Nobody would have guessed Chychrun.
Yeah. No. So 2005-06, man, that's the last time it happened when they had five guys. So pretty interesting that happened. And if you go back even further, when that happened, before that, it's 95-96, where you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys in 95-96. And that's kind of the '90s, early '90s, when the scoring was just through the roof in a lot of ways. And that's, I think, the most that ever happened was in 92-93. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 players.
Jesus.
So massive amount of goals. Anyway, so that's really kind of a starting point. Is this has only happened not that much. It's really rare to actually get this. And obviously, if you take away Draisaitl and Ovechkin, who are clearly the best goal scorers, of this era, right now, I think Matthews actually is better scorer than Draisaitl. But anyway, point being that, it's not that many guys that have done it outside of those two. So it's pretty wild. So this year you have another year of Matthews getting on the list. This will be he's already done it now a second year, 58 goals already. He'll probably eclipse 60 very soon. And then you have Sam Reinhart, and Zach Hyman with their first 50-goal seasons, both are sitting at 50 goals. And with about, I don't know, 10 games, 11 games with all the teams left to go. And that leaves another group of guys in Nathan MacKinnon, David Pastrnak, and Artemi Panarin, who are all at 44 or 43 goals. And they all are within striking distance. I mean, it's pretty close. They could conceivably catch up in the next couple of weeks. And I think MacKinnon and Impasta's done it before once. And I think he had 61 goals. And he obviously is a very good goal scorer. MacKinnon's been playing out of this world, just like Panarin. I mean, they could all do it. And they could have. We could have the first six guys in one season since, you know, like I said, 05, 06. So we'll see if that happens, but pretty possible. So anyway, going through this whole thing, I really was looking at a little bit more than this, which was, you know, I know it's going to be a lot of shit on the screen here for you guys. But generally, what's interesting is looking at the guys who score the most are in the last 3 years, especially. They're the guys at the top of this list, and they're generally the guys that have hit 50 goals. You can see Matthews, Pasta, Draisaitl, McDavid, Ratanen, Kreider, Point, Ovechkin, Reinhart, Hyman. All have hit 50. They're all at the top of the lists. The only guys that aren't, you know, are Kaprizov, who's hit 47, MacKinnon, who's been flirting with it, and he might hit this year, Nylander, who's had, you know, bunches of goals every year, last 3 years, and then obviously kind of peters out into the guys that have hit this kind of top 30 goal scorer list. I use 30 goal scorers, top 30 goal scorers, because it's just kind of like, whatever, use any kind of number. So the last 3 years is kind of what we looked at, top 30 goal scorers, and this is kind of where they all kind of fit. The yellow is basically if they've done it, they're on the list twice, and three times is green, which is the only guy on the list that's not three times been top 30 goal scorer over the last 3 years and not score 50 goals in his career in one season is Kirill Kaprizov. So Kaprizov. So interesting to see that. And then I've obviously, there's a whole slew of guys here that have scored, you know, a shit ton of goals the last 3 years. Even like Bo Horvat sneaks in there with like 38 last year. He's on 29 right now. He didn't quite get into the list of top 30 in the previous year. But, you know, that's like, it's just really interesting to see kind of how where these guys all kind of sit in some of this, where they kind of live in their, where they score goals and over the last few years. And the only reason why I looked at 3 years was kind of like, what I wanted to kind of think about with this whole process was like, who could really do this, be on the list next year? Because you have sometimes guys that pop up, and if, you know, looking at it this year, it's Sam Reinhart and Zach Hyman. I don't think either of those guys were, people were like, hey, those guys are going to be 50 goal scorers this year. So the thought process was, who could we kind of point to as the next guy, you know, for the next couple of years, well, specifically next year, who's the next guy to get 50? That's not already done it. So anyway, so I kind of went through it, and, you know, from the list, I kind of went through and I said, you know what? Oh, shit. That doesn't do what I want to do. All right, see that. All right, so number one, Nathan MacKinnon, who clearly is going to be a guy that I think is he's probably going to do it this year. But,
he might do it this year, exactly.
Yeah. If he doesn't do it this year, I'd be shocked. But he's just still playing at such a high level. That it's pretty clear he's right there. He had 42 last year. He's at sitting at 44 right now. Been playing. I think as long as he doesn't get injured, I think he hits it this year. I think he's going to get it. But he's been just getting better with a little bit of more, you know, I don't want to say better with age, but kind of is happening. He's been getting better and better and better. And he's starting to hit he's obviously right now in his prime. And he's just been, very, very good. I think he's going to hit it. My number two on my list is maybe a little controversial, but I think Connor Bedard may be the next guy to hit it.
That's crazy.
That's, I think it's, it might be at 19.
I think he's going to be the next guy to do it. It doesn't necessarily mean, and this is my list of one, two, three.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you meant next year. Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
No, because nobody can hit it next year. It's possible, right? You could have nobody hit 50. That's already hit it. because I'm excluding all the guys that have already been on the list, like Pasta, Matthews, McDavid. Those guys.
Yeah, you haven't hit on the guy that I think is going to do it. Because I agree with you. I think McKinnon's going to do it this year.
I think it's most likely.
Yeah, you don't have the guy that I think is going to hit it next year on your list yet.
All right, so I have McKinnon number one. I think Bedard's got all the potential to do it. I don't see why he can't do it in the next 2 years. He's already scored 21 this year. I think he's going to be in the 40 range to 50 next year. I think he really will be. Depending on who he's playing with, of course, it's going to have a major impact. But I think in the next 2 years, I think he's probably going to do it based on what we've seen so far. That's my thought. Next guy is Mr. Kaprizov himself. He's so good, and he's going to have 40 again. He's going to have 47, 40, and probably, let's say, 40 again this year. I think he's got a really good chance of hitting it next year, or, you know, eventually he's going to taper off. But, I mean, man, he's got to hit it. He's right there. If anybody has the credentials, it's him. So, I mean, you can make the argument that if he hasn't hit it over the last few years, he's never going to hit it. But I feel like they haven't. He's got such ability. It's kind of nuts. I think he's going to do it. After that, I got Mr. Panarin, who I think Breadman, he'll probably do it this year if he stays hot. If not, I think he's going to do it. He's too talented.
I don't know. I agree that he's talented. I agree that he's a playmaker, but this is his chance. This year is his chance. I don't think he's going to come close next year. I think he's going to be more in the 30s next year than closer to 50.
It could happen.
My opinion.
Good. But, you know, this is also taking a factor that he's right there. I mean,
yeah,
clearly he's right there. But I agree. It's tough if he doesn't get this year. Who knows what will happen next couple of years. After that, I got Mr. Jack Hughes. You know, Jack was obviously down here like the entire Devils have been. After put up 43 last year and looking like he was going to be superstar of the league, I think he still got it. I don't see why he can't do it. He's young. He's got Timo Meier and a bunch of other great talent around him. He should be a guy that's going to hit 50. Maybe he turns into more of an assist guy, but personally, I think he's got plenty of time to do it. I think he's a guy that will nail it. Stevie, any thoughts on that one?
No, I think he's a 40-60 guy. I don't think he's going to be a 50 goal scorer.
I think at least once he will.
He's a 35 to 40, 60 to 65 guy.
Okay. All right.
That was the guy, Nick. That was the guy who think is going to do it next. Yeah. It's Jack Hughes. He's going to do it next year.
I think so. I think it's a good choice. Tage Thompson. I think this guy is just, he's a little bit better of guys on that team in Buffalo. I mean, he had 47 last year. He's just nuts, man. He's a goal scorer. He had 38 the year before that. This year, not as many, but they've been terrible. I mean, he's a guy that can definitely score goals, and I think he's got a very, very good chance of hitting it. Coming down the list, Jason Robertson, another one of these guys, kind of in the same boat. He had 46 last year, 41 the year before, a little bit of a down year this year, but has a lot of the ability to score goals. I think he's a guy that another good chance, another one up there. Down in Dallas, Carter Verhaeghe in Florida, another one that shows up multiple times in the list. Just sneaky good. I didn't really think Verhaeghe was that much of a goal scorer, but you know what? It's just one. Sometimes those guys just like sneak up on you. You don't see him coming, and they score 50 out of nowhere. So I think he's that kind of dark horse for me. That he might be that guy that just is a 30, 40 range, 35 goal scorer. One year just has a 50 goal score. One year just maybe knocks it out of the park. Last two guys on the list, Elias Pettersson. He's pretty good. I think he's probably not going to do it, but I was looking at the list and I was trying to get top 10 at this point, and I was like, you know what? Pettersson's pretty much a lock to be up there every year. He's got a good chance of having one of those years he just scores 50 points or 50 goals out of nowhere. So I think he's a pretty good one out in Vancouver. They got a great bunch of guys. Maybe JT Miller does it instead of Pettersson. Who knows?
Ew. Ew.
Yeah, I know. I know. Last but not least, Philip Forsberg. Who, listen, Nashville. Nashville's playing insane. So we didn't talk about those guys either. And how nuts of a run they've been on from being like a draft pick, you know, lottery into like definitely in the playoffs. And Philip Forsberg is sitting on 39 goals, at least right as of today when we're shooting this, we're recording this. So he had 42 2 years ago last year. I don't know what happened. I forget with Philip with Forsberg. He was hurt last year or just they didn't play.
Yeah,
as well.
He was.
Yeah, I probably thought it was he was hurt, but 39 this year. He's going to break 40. And damn, man, that team is going to be young and good. And maybe he could do it, man. That's not he's I have him low on the list because he's not a young spring chicken. So the guys that, you know, obviously the top of the list guys that are either superstars or the guys that are basically, you know, really young and can have a lot of time to do it. Because otherwise, you know, Forsberg's been over here a while and, you know, in the league and for a while, and he's going to eventually start to tail off. So he doesn't have a lot of time to do it, but I think he's got a really good shot. So, anyway, that's my list. Anybody, any omissions you thought?
I'm boycotting this list if you don't have I'm Just Ken Connor on it. I mean, you got to have Connor. Come on.
I have Tom's Kyle. Favorite. Kyle is here. And, you know, I did kind of highlight Mr. Kyle Connor, 47 goals 2 years ago, but and then 30 this year. He's a pretty good goal scorer. But
he's on the back nine of his career. He sucks.
I know I'll probably catch a little bit of shit for this.
Yep.
But my guy that I would see doing it next would be William Nylander.
Yeah. I thought about Nylander. I think he's got a shot for sure. They score a lot of goals there, man.
Yeah. The team scores a lot of goals, and if the team's going to go anywhere, he's going to need to really step up his game now that he's coming into a new contract. Maybe they put a lot of different pieces around him to try and get him going. I could see him being the next one to do it.
I mean, he's going to have 40 goals 2 years in a row. You know, he's at 40 last year, 39 right now. He's clearly going to hit 40 now. So, you know, and he's right in that last three-year range where he's pretty much what I think the top, he might be 10th or 11th in total goals scored over the last 3 years. So he's right there. Everyone else around him, if McKinnon hits it, and, you know, it's just him and Kaprizov because the only guys that are not 50 goal scorers yet. And he's pretty much right there, man. I agree. He's definitely an option. I felt like it's possible he doesn't get it because he just is not on the top line.
Right.
And it's Matthews and Marner show too much. But hey, he's power play is a thing, man. He might get like 30 power play goals. Who knows? I don't know. Hard to say.
Good list.
Wow. This is another great list, Nick. I can't wait till
can't wait to see what Frank's spin is on it.
It's gonna be amazing. All right, let's go to this date in Steve's stomach. Brought to you by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
We're here, we're saving calories. Round here, we all look so lean. Round here, we enjoy Coke Zero, but sacrifice flavor, no. Round here, Coke Zero's the way to go.
Please. Do you guys care that I show you each week the actual planet?
I know I could give two flying fucks. This one's going to bring us to you for 2014. Please go to May 30th, May 30, 2014.
May 30th, 2014 was a Friday, which only means one thing during the year 2014.
Bagel Friday, baby.
Nope, it's Moe's Friday. We had Moe's on Friday. Yeah. There was stupid. No breakfast stupid. Had this day because
what,
of the trip to
what
Moe's.
Were you, yeah, what were you saving yourself for Moe's?
Yes, saving everything for Moe's.
Steak quesadilla was the food du jour because they had the Coke machine there. It was half Coke Zero. So what's that like? Coke 25? Coke quarter? Dinner was a little leftover baked macaroni with a can of Sprite, 25 minutes on the elliptical. Why did you
can of Sprite?
Yeah, Sprite.
What the fuck?
Maybe we just had a leftover in the house. I have no idea why. Maybe it was maybe we were out of Coke Zero at the house. I don't know. But a can of Sprite with dinner. So, Tom, why did you pick Friday, May 30th in the year 2014?
Just remember, you guys wanted this, not me.
Bring in the sexy back. We'll bring in the sexy back.
Well, listen, the heart wants what the heart wants. And David Truscott's heart wants cow manure. Starting in 2005, Truscott, who was in his middle 30s, began visiting a farm in somewhere in the UK. At first, he would take the manure with him. However, that didn't fulfill his burning desire, so he started rolling around in it and smearing the cow poop on himself while performing sex acts. He was arrested and received jail time for his antics in 2005, 2009, and 2011. The people at the farm tried to stop Truscott from coming back by removing the manure from the field and putting up bollards. Not sure what bollards are. I would imagine they were like some sort of fencing. But this only infuriated Truscott. So in 2013, he threatened to kill them. And he set part of the farm on fire. The blaze killed one calf. Truscott, who has an autism spectrum disorder, was arrested and sentenced to 10 years in prison while he'll receive psychiatric treatment. When he is released, there will be a strict restraining order for him to stay away from the farm. This guy gets out of jail in a month and a half.
Tom's a creep. Tom is a weirdo. Where does he come up with the shit? It's so disgusting.
Do you want to see something?
10 years ago.
Do you want to see something a little more depressing than that?
More depressing than that?
What's the month?
May.
The year?
2014.
And what day did you tell me?
The 30th.
Had you picked the 31st, look what you would have gotten.
I. It's really small. You're gonna have to.
You said it was a good size.
What does it say right there at the top?
Pumpernickel. Look at that. Well, maybe I'll try and find a May 31st story.
Missed it by one day.
Also, he came several times while rolling in the manure.
Duh.
So clarification, like they said he was rolling around in the manure performing sex acts. I mean, just on himself, or was there like cows there, or was there like another person?
Didn't say. I have the updated article here, and it doesn't say either.
Sexy stud was there.
Kinky Kelly.
No. Rolled around naked in cow slurry and developed an obsession with the farm and blah. Jerked off. He came. Calf died. No, it doesn't say, Bill. Sorry.
Doesn't say that.
Well, I'm just going to have to fill in the blanks when I fantasize about
Can we go back to the fast food stories? Please?
No. I like where we're headed with this.
No. That was the noise he made when he was in the manure.
Right. That is right. That fucking guy's getting out of jail.
Wow.
Like next month. Watch out. Watch out, cows. Here he comes. Thank God he's in England. You know, a lot of these fucked up stories are in England.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some fucked up ones in Ohio and Florida. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, a lot of these fucked up people are in the UK. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Don't go to England.
Don't what?
Don't go to England.
Well, depends on how much cow manure I want to roll around in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us this week. Don't forget to go on the Twitter at @friends_rivals. Go to where you get your podcasts and turn on notifications for this spectacular podcast so you never miss an episode of the Friends of Rivals podcast. Billy, says up, Woody.
So instead of trivia with Bill, I'm thinking like we're four guys, we're married, we've had a lot of experience. We could probably, you know, share some of that cunnilingus experience with our audience and call it Labia with Bill.
Yep.
Or you could just sing us out.